Good evening. You've tuned in to... Oh, I forget what you've tuned into. You know what it is? It's Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm tuning in to you. Here we are on wonderful BBS Radio, and I just love it. My weekly opportunity to talk to you in person. We've had a lot going on, and we've done a certain amount of traveling and stuff, so I'm very grateful that one of the things we share is the Radiance by Design community is a commonly shared meditation where we do sacred geometrics and we help each other create the reality we want and do healing work we want. And, so I'm so glad you're listening, and I'm really looking forward to your calls. And I'd really like us to talk tonight about anything you want to talk about. How's that? I have a lot that I want to talk about, which is about the journey of the soul. We are working with a young lady this afternoon who's going to be passing. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to. We've just been into a different country, over into Canada, to be with a young woman who is going to be passing. And the thing about this young woman is that I've known her for many, many years. She's in her 40s. And she has taken some of the big trips through drugs, street stuff. She started off with some huge strikes against her because of her lineage. She was Native American, Native Canadian, and born way out in the hinterlands. And there was lots of alcohol and a lot of the dangerous stuff we hear about for Native Americans and other people. And she ended up a lot on the streets and then in rehab and then doing things well and then out on the streets again. It's a little bit less elegant than Whitney Houston, but certain kind of parallel. Anyway, why I wanted to talk about her is because one of the things that fascinates me as an intuitive and as a person and as a mother is the multidimensionality of life, and on a simpler level is the journey of our souls as compared to how our lives look and how hard it is for most of us to actually watch and love people and focus on their soul's journey and what they're not doing in the exterior. You know what I mean? Anyway, this young lady used to have, I knew her when she was 5 years old, and she had a huge dark thing inside of her. And at that time, I wasn't yet an intuitive. And I used to think I want to reach in and pull it out. But anyway, through the years, as I say, she has textured her existence, life and death, over and over again with drugs and street life and et cetera. It's been a very difficult life for her. She also is hilarious and playful and then would go off and do these amazing things. But the thing that's happened through the years, and I'm so grateful to Spirit and Divinity for this, is that that big, dark blob deep within her has gone. Even though she is fading now, and they're going to probably unhook all the life supports over the next day or so, there's a light in her, there's a brightness in her eyes, and her the life that she's brought up over the last maybe 10 or 15 years is increasing support for people in similar situations to her, and very much a leadership role, and she's got a real light in her. And I'm so grateful for her. So the sadness about watching someone's life be so, so dangerous and seemingly dead end is abated or is assuaged or tempered by recognizing that that darkness that was in her is no longer there, that she is very light inside, that she's very spiritual inside, and that she gives and she serves and she's helped a lot of people. So I just thought how, you know, we talk about oneness and learning to be one, and yet we all get critical of each other. Look at the election stuff that's coming up. It's so little about truth and mutual support and more about ego and power and dominance and so on. It's crazy. And drama and entertainment and bribery and lobbyism and all blah, blah, blah. But it's so interesting to think that on a cellular journey level, we're not necessarily achieving the way it looks on the outside. We might be achieving a lot more than it appears. And how difficult, even when you're an intuitive, how difficult it is to see what it is people are actually accomplishing, no matter how their exterior looks? And how can we be one, and how can we get along with each other and not judge each other so much if we're not allowing ourselves, if we're not studying, I guess, the process, the journeying that's actually inside of one another? What is your soul journey like? What is my soul journey like? What's Obama's soul journey like? What is my friend who whose life is almost over this time? What is her soul journey like? I think I've gained a great deal of insight on that level. And so I want to talk about things like that. I want to talk about criticizing one another, how our perceptions, you know, we keep learning that human beings are a species of projection and reflection. Right? In both those cases, it's from me to you or you back to me. But the deeper search, the search for what the journey's all about, that's going to come through metaphor, through the poetry of life, isn't it? Through the essence of your being shining through your eyes or however that is. We need to maybe learn to stop and to help clear reactiveness of all kinds and to really drop inside and let ourselves take stock of the essence of someone else's life, especially when we think they're out to lunch. Kind of an interesting subject, isn't it? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the thing we've been talking about off and on for a long time, which are beliefs, hidden beliefs in ourselves, and how they can actually short-sheet where we're headed and the fulfillment of our existence. What kind of beliefs are you looking at inside? Let's
Jara.
Talk about... What?
Jara on line one.
Oh, okay. Jaya, can you ask her to wait just for a few minutes?
Sure.
Really glad that you've called in really quickly, and I... maybe we'll just take that call. Then we're going to do a meditation together. You're on the air. Good evening, my friend.
Well, good evening.
Hi, Jaya. Hello.
So how does my soul journey look?
Wonderful question. Well, you know how it looks to me. Everybody, every intuitive sees differently. So I want to say the way I see it is that there's a beautiful ribbon of light in there, but it's been gone through, it's as if it were a stream, and it's gone through kind of a glitch where a lot of your information coming from experience is sort of pooled. And in that pooling, there has felt like maybe not so much a stagnance, but a lack of clear direction. But you're about to burst out into a deeper understanding, more of a psychic, intuitive, spiritual understanding in a level that I believe your soul journey is driven to do. But it seems like you've pooled for a while and haven't really gotten that hit. How does that sound so far?
Right. It's been a while.
Well, and you do have a very spiritual journey. There's no question about that. And how it shows to me is this ribbon, this like little stream or ribbon that runs through you, we call it your soul journey, is building up to this really bright kind of a fuchsia purple and white burst, and which tells me you're going to be coming to a time of feeling fulfillment. And you're not going to cross over right now, not like the woman I was talking about, but you're going to feel more like, I'm here for this. I'm here I'm integrating with my soul's journey instead of struggling with the 3D. How does that sound?
Oh, great.
And I think that's evidence within ourselves when we're hitting the soul, don't you?
Yes.
But I'm glad you phoned in early. Go ahead.
Oh, you had seen some big shift happening for me in March, I think, when we talked last fall, and I just, here we are in March.
Here we are. Well, we're not going to march, we're going to fly. Woohoo! Yeah, I think you're opening up stuff to be. Now, remember this, and this is for everybody at home as well. With most of us intuitives and most of our guides and angels, the sense of time is not always bang on, so you can't write it on your calendar. Right?
Right.
So I'm saying that what's doing in your soul's journey is something that could come up in a month or 2 months or 10 months or in a minute, but it's like when things stew to a certain point of perfection is when it comes forward. But you're on it. It's been a long while of kind of roaming around and not really deciding on its identity in terms of fulfillment, what is going to create the fulfillment. I'm excited for you. You look great.
Oh, thank you.
And now I'd like to go and do the meditation, so I hope to talk further with you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Daya. All right, let's go into our sacred geometrics, and I really like to be able to do this with one another because it builds that kind of resonant community that I really, really long for. And that's the one that maybe we could say where we're respecting and relaxing with one another, moving into a soul presentation, you know, so it's not really about what's on the external. Does that make sense? When we're vibrating together and there tends to be an unfolding coherence among people, then I think we've got more of an evolved community. So let's get at it and create that. So close your eyes unless you're on a unicycle, like I always say. And create above your head about 2 miles. Hey, let's drop in. Oh, let's go way up into the great central sun and drop a golden line down from the great central sun. And most of you know that above your head, about 2 miles, it will encounter a golden ball and then have that golden line come down through your spine, right down into the lower golden ball, and shoot right into the core of the earth. Yay! Those are guide wires, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And then you drop from the upper golden ball to about waist height, a four-sided pyramid. And then upside down, meeting it point to point, another four-sided pyramid. And the lower one, the lower point, goes into the lower golden ball. So now you're inside this beautiful eight-sided figure. It's a diamond shape. And in that, you want to put a crystal ball. And have the outside edges of the crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron, your eight-sided figure. And inside that, there you are. Of course, I'm thinking about Jaya at this minute. But there you are inside of a star tetrahedron. Remember, you've got this golden filament running through your spine. And you're in a star tetrahedron, which is a three-dimensional star of David. And now spin and spin and spin and spin. Woo! Spin and spin and spin and spin. Good. And whilst you're spinning, see on this magical screen in front of you where you're going to put some little movie. Now, the first movie is about you and what it is you want to become. Of course, we just did that interview that of the same people Jackie interviewed last week of Human by Day and Zeta by Night. So I really want to throw into my, I want to be multidimensional. I want to see simultaneously many dimensions. I want to have a rapport with my aspects of my being that are living in different galactic centers or different universal centers at this time. I like to see myself absolutely cognizant of all these different levels. Now, when you get a sense of whatever it is you want to become, and you don't have to do what I do, I'm just sharing with you. I'm just playing with you. Now, when you get to the point in your vision or in your movie that you're able to create yourself at that level in your vision. Smack your hands together and say, woohoo, wrap it in light and move it over to the right. And now the second movie is you creating something you really want to create. It might be home and family, it might be a house, it might be a move, it might be world travel, it might be a book, it might be a television show. Whatever it is you want to create, see all the resources coming. You're attracting all the resources, even though you have to do some of the work, pencil work, bank work, whatever. You're attracting it all, and then you're building your project. Maybe it's sewing. Maybe it's building things. Doesn't matter. See all the pieces coming to you. You're putting them together, or you're helping create them so they can construct themselves. And then when your project is in completion and you feel that really deep, joyful satisfaction, then you see all the resources coming for it to sustain itself or to for it to expand, whichever way you're doing it. Wonderful. And see other people enjoying it. Oh, boy, they're happy. Good. Now wrap that in light. And now let's go into the Galactic Healing Center. And the Galactic Healing Center is where you call in some of your wonderful guides, the healing guides particularly, and have them stand in a circle around this healing table. And the first person who hops on the healing table is you, or in my case, me. Hop onto the table and either ask for what you want or ask those beings who are standing there around your table what it is you need. Good. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what I'm asking for? I'm asking for a healing and a consciousness that allows me, again, I'm asking to heal my consciousness so it allows me to see beyond, to re-see people. And to a degree, I can do this, but I want more and more of this. I want to be able to see and know and understand and respect and evolve with the awareness of people's soul journey. I wouldn't mind a little bit of a facelift going there, but that's up to the guys. Good, and now, oh, I can feel. Now, what happens when you ask for whatever you want? I can feel the healing energy moving through my body. Can you? Good. Because once you really feel it, bless your guides and angels. Just bless them. Say thank you so much. Wrap that scenario in light. Move it to the right where it can keep stewing away. And then the guides can replicate themselves. Your healing team can replicate themselves. And a fresh table appears. And let's bring in some of the people that you want to work with, some people that you want healing for. And I'm bringing in a wonderful man who has pancreatic and liver cancer and a very short time to live. I'm dealing with a lot of people lately that I care about or that are clients or whatever who are facing this final transition. So I would like him to be brought in and have the healing team and his healing team. And then the levels of consciousness behind each of the healers and the healing team. And asking them what they can do to heal him. And they're absolutely flowing in wonderful, wonderful. It's kind of softening, loving frequency through his body, mind. And they look like they're taking little pains out of his body and must be feeling uncomfortable. Good. Excellent. And when that looks good, move it over to the right. And leave those extra beings around him for healing or whoever you're working on. And now there's a young woman that I've mentioned before who's been out on the streets who's in a healing mode. My prayer for her is that the team help her to create that. You know, what would we want to create if we were transiting? We want to create the freedom from kind of the karma that keeps us running through potholes in our lives, eh? So I'm seeing the healing being freedom from some of the karma stuff or as much as possible before she crosses over. And the infusions of love. And then again, let's ask for some higher and higher beings so that we've got tiers, many tiers of being. And just put in who you want to have there. Okay. And then there's somebody I don't know. I'm going to pick you from the audience. Move that to the right and have her perk away and feel the healing on a cellular level. Now I'm bringing in a woman who's got incredible back pain. Some of the worst is up in her shoulder. Oh my goodness. And she seems older, and she has to keep working, and she's in a lot of pain. But what she's doing is stifling the pain. She's standing in a very stiff fashion, and she's trying to hold herself against the pain, and it's going right down her whole body, actually. But it's very bad on the upper shoulder, left shoulder, I believe, and then it's running down to the left hip, down the leg. Could have the wrong side, but I'm looking at left at this point. And the guides are showing this, that she has a deep-seated grief, a deep-seated need to express. She is very vulnerable and sensitive, but she's had to work mightily and deny a lot of her sensitivities, so she holds in her body, and that's apparently the crux. The holding, and we all know this, that the way we hold ourselves against stress is very often the place that we get all kinds of difficulty and so on, and that's what's happening to her. She's holding against. So we're asking the healing team to solve that problem, asking the healing team to have whoever's on your table feel incredible surrender, to be helped, to be loved, to be supported. Just feel the ability to be supported. That's funny, that moved something into her ribcage and then around again. So we're just asking them, she wouldn't lie down, but now she's lying down. So they're going to do a lot more energy clearing on her, and we'll see if she doesn't feel better a little later. And we're going to wrap that in light and move it over to the right and bring in the political scenario. Oh my goodness. Have we got a healing table big enough? I think our political scenario has an awful lot to do with consciousness, doesn't it? When people are conscious of the oneness of all of us, the oneness of the earth, they would act a lot different than if they were all fighting for the same castle. It was about who deserves the castle according to money or something. Now I'm being cheeky and cynical. Forgive me for that. I'm just seeing all these different people who are fighting for office. I want to see us infuse, I'm asking the team to please, realms and realms and realms of consciousness behind our team, and then have them infuse, they could have a better idea and they can tell me that, but have them infuse all these beings that are holding any position of power or political office, infuse them with the kind of light and the kind of frequency that lifts and raises their consciousness. And as we do this, the reason I'm laughing is because I see some of them who are really kind of hearty and tough about what it is they want to accomplish, getting weepy with compassion and understanding and having different solutions for certain problems, because they will have the compassion for all life and for, let's go back to the journey of souls. So let's once more see the team infusing all the beings you can think of that are political with this tremendous light. This time it looks white, yellow, green, and then a lot of that pinky, that harmonizing pinky fuchsia light. And they have them move up through all these different people for the sake of the evolution of our species. So we could see, as it infuses these beings, you can see it infusing the whole collective as well. Because we keep hearing there are concurrent realities all over the place, and that there are multiverses all over the place. I'm saying, well, surely this kind of way of being, we can line up with different realities and absolutely move into them. The moon is rising out of the clouds here. It's gorgeous. All right, so let's just infuse our political bodies with this light. And see if we can't get a quantum leap in our collective reality. Why not? Good. And now let's take that light, and I want you to amp up the pinky, orangey, fuchsia aspect of it and move it around and around and around the planet, patting it into places where there's sickness, there's war, there's political greed, and intrigue and deception. We know there's a ton of deception going on, but it is being revealed, so then the deception could possibly be released, could it not? So we're patting down where there's a lot of deception so that at least it will cauterize that radiance of deception or need to deceive by people in position. So surround the world wherever there's a need with this amazing healing light. And now send a surge of this light round and round and round your planet, round and round my planet, and have it come up your hands and your arms and up through your body and through your heart and straight up through the top of your head. And into the great central sun, and then have it pop back down and run right through your body. And into the core of the earth. And now I want you to step out of the Galactic Healing Center. Thank our healing team. Zipper the center shut or lock the door, however you close it. And hop into your star tetrahedron. And spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And like you're doing a great pirouette. Spin into this room with me right now. How are you doing? How is your soul doing? I'm going to read the number. Call in if you want to, 888-627-6008, and tell us what's going on with you. And I don't know if Deb O'Connor's calling in because I was so travel-y today that I didn't get to her. So if she calls in, please beep us, Deb. So call 888-627-6008. And let's talk about you. And how many... Oh, and if you want, you can email me a question. It's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. How many of you heard the show about Human by Day and Zeta by Night at Jackie's show last week? Jackie's going to talk about it again tonight. And then I did the interview with Judy Carroll, the author and experiencer, on Tuesday night, and I just wondered if any of you had heard it. And if you haven't, gee, go to the archives, because I think it was really exciting. What she's talking about is that we have guardians around us. So a lot of us are really familiar with our guides and our angels. And the whole concept of ETs is kind of an interesting concept that we, Spielberg and people like that, make it a little bit dramatic, and it's been like that, War of the Worlds and all that. It's been dramatic in all kinds of media presentations for a long time. But it's 2012, and how many of us have heard that we're going to have more sightings, we're going to have more experience with ETs and beings who come from different places and different galaxies, that we've been in quarantine, and the quarantine's going to be lifted. And I gather the quarantine is about us learning to have to use free will and create our reality. Is that right, Bob? Bob's the expert. Okay. Anyway, I haven't got time to repeat everything he says, but in any case, what I gather is that we're moving into a level of consciousness, and as Bob said, love and compassion, so that we can become a mover and shaker on the planet, or not on the planet, in the universe, instead of being a dog-eat-dog reality. So how are we doing with that? And I really liked my talk with Judy Carroll, because what she's talking about are the Zetas, who are the Grays. She said that, oh, goody, you're on the air. I'll just finish this thought. She said that in one of the books that their goal is oneness, or that they function as one, and we have seen them as, or we've been told that they function on a hive mentality, and they whatever one does, the others do. So it's a matter of consciousness or gradations of consciousness, isn't it? Like oneness and a hive mentality could be the same thing, but if you're on a lower consciousness level and you just do whatever the others do, that can be really awful. But if you move up to a higher level, they work for the good of the group. So I think it was a very interesting discussion. And I know Jackie's got some comments and questions to say about that, too, on the show at 8 o'clock tonight, so I hope some of you will stay tuned. So, hello, hello, you're on the air, hello.
Hi, hi, it's Deb.
Oh, hi, Deb. Gosh, Deb, I'm watching this amazing moon come up. It's just
me, too. I know.
It's unbelievable. Ours is just rolling out of some of those clouds that are long strips parallel to the Earth, you know? It's just rolling out.
Yeah, and just right down. Well, and that's exactly what we have. Just what, am I 60 miles south of you or so?
It's that's right. You're not very far. I was thinking you're in California. Now you're not very far south.
Yeah. Same clouds. They just must be going right up the coast. My God, it looks like it's the size of the sun. It's so beautiful. Anyway.
Well, as everybody knows, this is Deb O'Connor, who's an astrological wizard, and she's going to wizard us tonight. So tell us something wizardy.
I have two things to say tonight, and one is that we still have this full moon energy afoot. And the full moon energy, so the moon is still in Virgo, like it was last night, and the pull between Pisces and Virgo is really everything about I don't know why I'm so tongue tied all of a sudden. It's about the relationship between light.
Moon's in Virgo. That's why you're tongue tied.
I think it's because Mercury's about to go retrograde, which is the next thing I was going to talk about. Anytime the sun's in Pisces and the moon is in Virgo, we're dealing with what we call dualism, which is basically not dualistic at all, but the fact that Pisces represents the light of the sort of the mystery that we can never find a name for. It was sometimes called God, the light of divine source consciousness. And Virgo represents the embodiment of sort of healing energy that's embodied, that can do things through the manifested world. So it's a beautiful time to be reminded, I think, that there's no separation between light and form. It's form created by light. So I I've talked about this before, but I think it's important because you and I both, working with clients, constantly hear people now talk about how, this human incarnation, we just need to remember that there's really nothing but light. And I think people forget that they're in form for a reason, that we've taken on this embodiment for a reason, and we should honor all of it, the material world, as well as remembering that the material world is, in fact, all created through light. But anyway, that's the full moon energy. And, of course, it's Pisces and Virgo, so sometimes there's some confusion, and sometimes there's a lot of self-criticism about through Virgo, how we haven't, we're just not doing it well enough, whatever it is, and if we could just get it together. And so we have to be really careful of those old nannery voices that come at us. But the most beautiful way for Pisces and Virgo to work together is because they're both about healing, and Pisces is healing from the divine light consciousness, and Virgo is very humbly capable of serving greater good right here in form. So that's the moon, which is so beautiful. I'm surprised that anybody is probably not even listening to me. It's just mesmerizingly beautiful out there tonight.
And for people who don't know this, up here in the Northwest, sometimes we don't get to see it because of the clouds.
Yeah, but the last two nights we've been able to, and oh man. And speaking of other celestial things, this is so incredible. The planet Venus has nearly caught up with Jupiter. And so for everybody, if you go out into the night, and this has been going on for like 3 weeks, but a couple weeks ago when we had the new moon and that little crescent that was just unbelievable. It was like there were these two little diamonds right there with the moon. And the most brilliant one is Venus. And then the one that's also really bright, but not quite as bright, is Jupiter. And, this only happens every year and a half or so, that Venus and Jupiter are right together. And it doesn't always happen at night when
that
we can actually
luck
see
in
it.
The home?
Some years. Luck in the home? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's an odd thing to say. Is that something you heard on the web or somewhere like that?
No, I thought of Jupiter as the planet of expansion and luck and
Venus is the feminine. Mm-hmm. No, Venus doesn't have anything to do with the home. She that would be the moon.
Venus is
all about Venus is the feminine in us. It's also the creative in us, and they're both in Taurus right now. So it might have something to do with the real archaic astrology would definitely say this had a lot to do with financial abundance. But I always think it has to do more with less with money and more with confidence, that the confidence that we can, in fact, support our way forward and be secure in the material world somehow. But I think a big part of it with Jupiter and Venus is enlarging our memory of the kind of incredible creativity that we carry within ourselves that we very often forget. And I think another piece of it, and this is so relevant to the news, is an enlargement of our understanding of the feminine itself. And if you think about the insanity that's been going on in the Republican campaign trail with contraception becoming an issue in the, you know, the women's health becoming an issue when women aren't even being in any way brought into the conversation, that's your Venus. Jupiter's enlarging. But I think that ultimately, like you were just talking about earlier, everything's being revealed. And then, you know, I was watching the woman who's the president of the national president of Planned Parenthood on Jon Stewart last night, and she was talking, you know, she's talking about all of this, and I was thinking to myself, it's just another thing that's being revealed, and it's going to bring women's issues back into the forefront, even though right now, because the Congress is so dumbed down, it seems like they'll butcher all this, but I think, if anything, the consciousness is going to be raised more around women's issues. But anyway, do you need me to get off, or should I talk about Mercury retrograde?
I want you to talk about Mercury retrograde, but I want to also say this other thing that I saw, that the Congress has made protesting illegal.
What? When did that happen?
I just saw that. I think it was on the BBS bulletin today. I have to look that up.
You
but
mean,
I was about
you
the
mean
Wall
like
Occupy. Yeah.
Occupy?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I haven't checked back to see what it really means, but I did see it, and it went by more than once, you know. Sometimes I don't have time to open all the things that come through either on Facebook or little flyers. But I think that in the revelations, then, doesn't it mean that Congress is revealing a kind of a limitation there, isn't it? Anyway, you can talk about other things. Talk about retrograde.
Well, okay, well, when Mercury goes retrograde, which it does three times a year, we all kind of know the drill. You know, we can expect that if we push too hard to try to communicate in the usual extroverted way that we do, that some part of our sort of communication system might collapse or become troublesome. And that doesn't always happen. The old parlance on this is always, never sign a contract when Virtue's retrograde, and you know, don't buy a house, don't buy a car. But I've found that to be not necessarily always true. It's more fear tactics, and there's a lot of fearful astrology out there. If anybody wants some fearful astrology, it's everywhere on the web. But more than anything, when Mercury goes retrograde, excuse me, what were you saying?
Nothing. I didn't say anything. I'm just listening.
Oh. Okay. Well, more than anything, when Mercury goes retrograde, it's about listening more closely to the inner voice. And it's going to go backward in the sign of Aries, and it'll go back into Pisces, and then come back into Aries again. So when, and Mars, the planet which rules Aries, is already going backward. So I think it's going to be sort of adding to our understanding of, or our questioning of ourselves about how we want to spend our precious energy. And that's the Aries piece, and where we want to find the courage to go more deeply into what's the most meaningful in our lives, but not always necessarily the most comfortable to investigate with our Mercury, our you know, our communication systems. Something interesting happened yesterday. I write a bi-monthly column, and it goes out to about 600 people. It goes out to all my clients, and usually I hear back from a lot of people, just a couple days worth of just being extremely busy with emails. And the call I sent out on this full moon, which was about oneness, which you talk about a lot, and I was talking about the fact that as we learn, you know, as we come to a fuller understanding of what it means to really be all a part of the same energy vibration, and whatever the divine heart is, we have to somehow remember that people like Cheney and Rush Limbaugh and Assad, who's now annihilating all his people in Syria, are also a part of this whole that we are. And I talked about the fact that it's just as hard for me as it is for everybody else to grok this and to try to understand this, but I think it's really important to remember what's in the human shadow. And interestingly, I haven't heard back from more than 5 or 6 people out of all those hundreds of people that I sent that call out to. And I think that part of it is that this is a really hard, hard, hard time. It's just getting crazier politically. And I don't just mean in the ridiculous Republican primary elections. I mean in terms of the world and the politics of it all and all of it. And yet, it's almost like this. I'm trying to get back to the Mercury going backward in Aries. It takes more courage to look at all this as a whole pattern than it does to just get madder than hell and shake our fists and then, storm off or throw some cynical rhetoric around. So I think that part of the universal message in this Mercury going backward this time has to do with what is it exactly that we need to be brave about relative to how we communicate, and first of all, how we perceive, and then how we put those perceptions back out into the world, that maybe we could try to be as brave as we can in remembering that it's all part of something that we are all players within the context of. I don't know, a lot of what you were talking about earlier, what you always talk about, where you send energy out, when you put the politics on the table just a little while ago, and you said, do we have tables big enough for all this?
Yeah.
you were just explaining what I'm just kind of recapping, which is, do you want to say again what you said? It was so beautiful.
Well, no, I don't, because I'm not very good at repeating what I say, except I wanted to say that this morning I was struck. You're ever struck by things so that you're vibrating all over and you can barely find your way out of this forest of reactions?
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about wanting to be without judgment. And all I could feel and see around me was the echoes of my own judgment on this, whether it's politics or, you know what I mean? Everything was just really emphasized. It was as if something was in me wanting to irradiate or reveal revelations. Mm-hmm. I was going through my own revelation of judgment and relating it also to politics and how the whole thing is based on if I have, you don't, or, you know, it's just really difficult. So saying that we're one with all their shadow is helpful, but then it still requires getting out of the judgmental response, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful, but it's difficult, and I think that's why it'll be interesting when this Mercury does go retrograde in Aries. It's not there yet. It's still in Virgo tonight. It won't be there until the weekend. But when it does, in fact, it won't be there until Sunday afternoon. But when it does go retrograde in Aries, I just think it's a great thing for all of us to do what you were just talking about, which is to have the courage to look at the part of ourselves that's still judging. Mm-hmm. And how can we not? It's so hard not to. How can we not feel judgment when we look at Syria or Iran or Israel or Palestine or the United States of America or, you know, any of it? But
the tar sands.
I guess we need to keep trying not to.
Yeah.
Or the tar sands. But the thing that I keep coming back to that I can't do all the time, but I can try to be aware of, is that if I come at any of this that I want to change, that I want to continue to work toward change, if I come at it with anger or with any, you know, with fear or anger, then I basically compromise the whole situation. And what I'm trying to do in terms of making a shift is going to be compromised by the fact that I'm coming to this desire to help move things in a different direction with some fear in me and some anger in me anyway.
Well, it's interesting because living in a consciousness that neutralizes our reactions, I mean, that's part of the deal for kicking our feet and rising a little higher in the vibrational ocean, isn't it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just another way of saying what you're saying, actually. But let me ask you, can I ask you another question? What do you know about solar flares?
Absolutely. Well, I just that they're a powerful. I have several theories about it. You can't touch this with the astrological language, but what we know from the astrological energetic maps is that Earth and cosmic interactions are just going to become more and more and more and more intense as we go through this year. And what's really interesting is that right now, this week, while these solar flares were going crazy, the planet Mercury, which hasn't quite gone backward yet, but it's stationed. And what that means is that the planets slow way, way, way down before they just stop and then go backward. And as it slowed down this week, it came up to the planet Uranus. And, you know, we talk about Uranus a lot, but it's a planet that brings about really unexpected and really radical changes. And it's also sort of the higher vibration of Mercury. Uranus and Mercury are both about our capacity to perceive and communicate. But Mercury is coming from the human equation, and Uranus is coming from the cosmic mind. So when these two planets come together like this about once a year, what you were describing actually this morning in your kitchen, it sounds to me like something, a revelation. Revelations occur. Mm-hmm. Solar flares are certainly revelatory. They remind us that we are. You see what I'm saying? And they're unexpected because we forget about them until they happen.
So they're kind of like a vibrational sort of thing happening.
Yeah. Certainly big energy. But, you know, like I always say, nothing's ever happening in isolation in the zodiac. There are always a lot of things happening at once. But over the course of the next 12 hours or so, the moon in the sky, which isn't exactly opposing the sun anymore tonight. It did that last night. That's why it was super full last night. But over the next 12 hours, 14 hours, it's going to be opposing this Mercury-Uranus conjunction. So I think we're going to be feeling the desire for these reality hits, for these sort of revelations, and for the and we're going to be able to actually put them into our heads and understand them. Because we've got
the moon
in Virgo, yeah. Virgo helps us to analyze things.
Mm. Well, I want to say to people at home, call in quickly because time will be up, and we haven't had any more callers. And I love what you're saying.
I'm gonna get off the line so that just in case somebody's waiting, they can call in.
They probably aren't waiting, but anyway. Thank you for that. You've given me a lot to think about, way too much in a way, for this short period of time I'll have to cogitate.
Well, remember, everyone, though, that Mercury's going to go retrograde really, really late Sunday night. Actually, in actuality, it's really, really early Monday morning, but we always seem to think about it as the night instead of the morning. But it'll be out here on the West Coast, it'll be about 1:30 in the morning. So that means in the Mountain States, it'll be 2:30 in the morning in the... You know, as we go back to the East Coast, it'll be, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. So when Mercury goes backward, please, everyone, don't panic and don't feel like we have to fix all the things that seem to be shifting in us, because our awareness is going to shift like crazy. And the other thing I didn't even throw into this Mercury retrograde is that when it goes backward, it's going to back over Uranus. So what you were experiencing in the kitchen this morning is probably the kind of thing that if we can just stay real, real open to very unexpected and unusual perceptions, they're going to just be abounding. And the point of them, the purpose of them really is to open us, open our consciousness more and more and more. This Mercury retrograde looks like a really extraordinary one to me.
I'm up for that. So it also, when you're saying it opens us more, it's... It has an impact on our soul's journey, doesn't it?
I'll say. And it's backing from Aries into Pisces, which is all about the soul.
Yay! So go tell everybody how to get hold of it.
Okay, you can get a hold of me by emailing me at Deb, short for Deborah, deb@lovedogdesign.com. Thanks a lot, Veronica.
Well, thank you for calling in. I forgot to call you today and tweak our memory.
No, I actually remembered myself. Oh, thank goodness.
All right, we'll talk to you
soon. All right, lots of love.
Thanks, and to you.
Okay, bye.
You have about You have about 2 minutes to call in. So those of you who are standing waiting and trying to decide, I can see one of you is going, I wonder if I have time. Phone, come on. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, what's up with you? Stay tuned at the top of the hour with Jackie Salvitti. Goes farther with ET Healing and Explorations and Consciousness and with their wonderful channel team, goes farther into the discussion of human by day and Zeta by night. I know you're going to just love this conversation. And I'm not sure who's going to be on Paradigm Shifters this week. I think I want it to be the Oneness Blessing people, because the Oneness Blessing people, and that is a system, I've talked about it before, it's coming out of India, and it takes some transmission for awakening and pass it on. And there are all these groups of people touching each other's head and passing on the transmission after being initiated by Bhagavan and Amma. And there's someone called Doug Bentley, and he's on tour over South America, I mean North America. Bellingham has not moved to South America, I tell you. But in any case, he's on tour, and he's going to be in Bellingham on the 19th. He's going to be in Vancouver, BC, I think the 14th of this month. Seattle, I don't know the exact dates, but you can check it out by going into Oneness Blessing. I think it's /everbright.com or something that tells you. But anyway, the Oneness Blessing University or onenessblessing.com will tell you where Doug Bentley is on tour. And he's apparently a shining, activating light, because of all the work he's done from the soul on out, learning to live without reaction and so on. So you might want to catch his tour and sit in silence with someone who radiates tremendous light. So this is Veronica Ambassol, and I see you're not calling in, and I see also I'm going to get called out. So if you have any feedback for me on these shows or on suggested guests for other shows, or if you'd like a session with me, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. And we'll talk to you at the top of the hour through Jackie's show, or Tuesday night on Paradigm Shifters, or next Thursday at 7 on Radiance by Design again. Much love to all of you, and good night.